Hey, welcome back to Dynasty Mode, brought to you by, what did you want it to be brought to us by? Guinness?
Sure.
All right, Guinness this week. Are you drinking one? No?
I have one. I'm actually drinking tea.
All right, well, it's brought to you by tea.
Tea. Tea brand tea.
I'm Mike, that's Dave.
What's up, guys?
So we're gonna talk quarterbacks this week, but some interesting stuff happening in the league. Mm-hmm. You want to talk Dak Prescott or Le'Veon Bell first?
Let's talk Le'Veon Bell first.
Cool. So I don't think he could get in a worse situation than he was in.
Sure.
Owning him, good. I don't know if I would attempt to acquire him, and it'll be interesting how quickly he signs with another team. I know, yeah. I saw a report that said, you know, he's wants to win. He wants to have a role. And part of me wonders if he waits a week or two to see if there's perhaps an injury on a better team. But the rumors I've seen are Miami, Chicago, and Kansas City.
Chicago is the only one. I don't know. I don't see Kansas City, really.
I could see them bringing him in to spell Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he would be a good fit for a football team, a bad fit for your fantasy football team. I think if you want to put up points, I think that Chicago situation is the best. They don't have much in the way of wide receivers. David Montgomery is pretty pedestrian, but gets a ton of volume, and they're missing their pass catching back.
Yeah, but I mean, I also kind of don't see any functional team necessarily wanting to bring him in.
The team I was talking to Kevin about earlier, the ghost of Kevin Present will be joining us for the QB discussion. Seattle. I feel like Seattle could benefit from him. They don't have a great pass catching back. Chris Carson's always hurt. I think that's a good culture. I think if he were to be able to succeed there, it would do a lot for him in impending free agency.
Yeah.
Is there any team you can think of that you'd like to see him with? It's pretty tough. I mean, basically the two teams that need him are the Jets and the Giants, and that's not happening.
I could see the Giants doing it, but they're not competitive.
I think they want
just Miami, really, but
right.
Yeah, I would think that the Bears would be the most likely, but I don't know.
All right, you know, this reminds me that we'll talk about it next week when we go over wide receivers, but we're getting close to Antonio Brown being able to re-enter the league.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's an 8-week suspension, and there is no shortage of teams who need wide receivers. I still lean towards the Ravens as his landing spot. Mm-hmm. He's working out with Lamar Jackson, cousin of Hollywood Brown.
Seems to make
a lot of sense.
Sure.
So yeah. We'll loop back to that.
If he's not totally crazy at this point.
You know, I think you can deal with totally crazy for half a season.
I'm sorry.
But perhaps.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Obviously, he's a type of guy who needs some good culture around him.
Sure.
All right. So we talked Bell. Let's talk Dak Prescott. That was terrible.
Yeah.
How do you think Andy Dalton fares in that role the rest of the season?
Not as well. You have to downgrade all of those wide receivers. I don't think there's enough talent at quarterback to make. I mean, I don't think there's going to be like two startable wide receivers out of those three every week.
I think you don't have to really do too much in terms of changing the overall values of these people, despite how disgusting that injury was. He should be back normal next year, which seems pretty wild. If anybody were to take a hit, I would lean towards Michael Gallup, but I feel like he's been kind of underused anyways.
Yeah.
He was a guy I wanted to talk about. Maybe we'll do it in 2-3 weeks. A podcast where we talk about players who are not necessarily doing poorly, but, you know, just we could foresee a better situation for sure. them. And Michael Gallup is definitely one of them. I would love to see him in something like Chicago Bears uniform, lining up next to Allen Robinson. But my biggest concern for Andy Dalton is actually that really beat up Dallas offensive line. I think if that offensive line was healthy, that they're good enough to get him enough protection and Ezekiel Elliott's enough of a threat on play action that he could probably be a pretty high functioning quarterback, probably top 20, you know, worth starting in a 2QB league in a couple of weeks after you see what he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I'm just not convinced that the wide receiver situation is going to be super consistent. Not that it was, but
yeah, I would still feel pretty good about starting Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb. Michael Gallup, I think if he's starting anywhere other than a flex, probably not a great team, but yeah. Who knows?
Who would you prefer at this point, CeeDee Lamb or Cooper week to week?
Week to week, probably Amari Cooper. I would assume that he's going to make less mistakes, you know, the type of mistakes that you and I don't notice, but coaches and teammates do.
Sure.
Just because he's a rookie. Long term, it's still CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, the sky's the limit, I think.
Definitely.
All right, let's talk. You want to talk about Drew Brees and his struggles? I mean, he did pull it together.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, his biggest problem is his game has always been about being super accurate and being able to throw the ball deep. He's 19th in accuracy this season and 24th in air yards. Mm. He's 28th in deep ball attempts with 8. He's only averaging 266 yards per game, 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Completion percentage is pretty good. Last year, Jameis Winston, 10% left. Ooh. My dog finally made an appearance in the podcast. Winston, 10% less accurate, probably on pace to throw more touchdowns, would be on pace to throw more touchdowns and way more interceptions. And last year, he was basically first in every category or last. He was basically the best at something or the worst at something. Is there any scenario you can think of, barring injury, where they take Drew Brees out?
No, I really don't think so, but I don't know. I'm also worried that his arm strength is just sort of starting to lose it. But he's still like a game manager. He's probably still their best route to winning while he's still there.
Right. I think he's probably like Peyton Manning at the end of his career. I think he is able to do enough things because he's a smart enough player that he's been in the league enough to know what to do. He is someone who's going to do just fine. I do think it would be interesting if he were to get hurt for a week or two and Winston were kind of able to light it up a bit. Maybe reel in some of those mistakes, then it might become interesting. Otherwise, I think the captain goes down with the ship. They're not gonna take him out in what's probably his last season. They're just gonna win or lose with him.
Yeah,
you're probably losing with him if you're starting him in Dynasty at this point. And
I mean, he might turn it around. Maybe he's just it's 5 games in. Maybe he has like some sort of nagging injury. I don't know. He just doesn't seem – he doesn't look like he's ever looked before, so.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is I don't think we ever, like, went super into it despite the fact that I was so high on him in the offseason, and I'll eat my hat. Taysom Hill, what a waste of money. And you know, giant salary cap hit. He's playing 25% of snaps, and he's averaging 3 rushes a game, 1 target a game, less than a reception a game. My thoughts were they liked what they saw in the playoffs. They were going to unlock something. They paid so much money for it that he was going to be a guy who ended up with 100 targets, and that is just not
the case.
So that's pretty brutal to think that there could be $8 million going to other places of need.
Yeah, sure. That's a top 10 running back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even though they have the number one, but
yeah.
All right. So before we get into our quarterback rankings, let's talk Trevor Lawrence. All reports are that pretty much no matter what, he is the number one pick. Anybody who gets it, that's who they're taking. He's just that good. The report I heard was essentially whatever team gets him is going to be able to get the best coaching candidate, that he's that great a piece that all the coaches on the market are going to want to be able to build around him. So yeah. Looking at teams with records that are pretty subpar or just flat out bad and don't really have a great quarterback situation, you have the Jets, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Giants, your football team, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Falcons. If you could pick one of those teams to cherry pick him on in terms of a success rate, not a fandom, where do you think he succeeds?
I mean, he would succeed on the Falcons, Vikings, or Broncos or Jaguars, but I don't know. I think, or the Eagles, but I think all the other teams have much bigger rebuilds. I think it's most likely it'll end up on the Jets or the Giants, but you know, yeah, I think the rest of those teams are going to turn it around at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that Falcons team has a really tough schedule. They haven't played most of their divisional matchups, where they are by far the worst team in their division.
But I just don't see them losing all year.
I suppose. I do think Matt Ryan is good enough, but you have to think that it would be fantastic to have years of Trevor Lawrence to Calvin Ridley.
Sure.
I think this will be more of like an off-season type podcast, maybe even a written piece on our website that gets ignored. but if you look back, quarterbacks who succeed, it almost has nothing to do with talent, but it's all about system, what's in place there. If you look at somebody like Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, obviously there's a culture there that Mike Vrabel has brought in, and that's a huge part of why he's succeeding, why he was able to go to that next level.
Yeah.
And I just question whether or not the Jets, the Giants, the Lions, the football team have that culture. I even kind of wonder if the Broncos have that culture. It does seem like John Elway is somebody who should have lost this job a long time ago.
Sure.
He's been screwing up the quarterback position for so long and actually put really good pieces everywhere else.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he'll find something that works at some point.
We'll see. We got Drew Lock coming back this week. Yeah. So, all right, quarterbacks. We are talking right now. We have the accumulated top 10 of myself, you, and Kevin. And unanimously, we have Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and Cam Newton. And then there is some discrepancy. I have Jared Goff and Tom Brady. You have Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger. And Kevin has Matt Ryan and Baker Mayfield. So make your case for yourself and Kevin. Why Matt Ryan?
I don't know. I think he has weapons. I don't think it's the offense that's necessarily killing that team. I think he should produce like a top 10 quarterback for this year. Yeah. And I mean, like, I feel like him and the quarterbacks that come like in that like 9 to 13 range are all basically equivalent.
Right. I would agree. I think that top, there's a reason why we agreed on the top 8 and we didn't agree on 9 and 10. I kind of feel the same. My argument for Jared Goff is the same as the Matt Ryan argument. There's just talent there. He's got a great coach, and that Matt Ryan, who knows what this system's going to look like moving forward. And then you also have Ben Roethlisberger. So why don't you tell us why you put him?
I mean, he's got great wide receivers. He's good until he proves otherwise. He's putting up some pretty big games. I don't know. I definitely like him more than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Kevin, sorry you're not here to defend yourself, but Baker Mayfield is not that good. He's barely – I mean, they're getting by running the ball, and I guess he's making less mistakes. But for as prolific as an offense they've had, Baker Mayfield has not been a very big part of it.
Yeah, I think Burrow would be – I'd choose Burrow over Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think I would too. I might even pick Josh Herbert before Baker Mayfield. But I'll make my argument for Tom Brady.
Sure.
I mean, he's putting up points. I just kind of like his general situation better than that of Matt Ryan. There's the weapons. I think they're all in on winning right now. And honestly, when I did it, I was pretty surprised that I put Rodgers, Brady, and Goff. Rodgers, because there's just no talent there. Goff, I kind of expected to definitely be better than last year. We talked about that way back in the offseason, but I kind of thought he would, you know, be 12 to 15 range. And he's probably the guy who benefited from Dak Prescott getting hurt in terms of making it into this.
Sure.
Who would you kick out, Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger, if Dak had not gone down?
Probably Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it feel as though, I mean, he didn't have a great game last night, but Josh Allen almost feels like he switched spots with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely playing really well.
Is he playing really well, or is Lamar Jackson playing
a little bit mediocre? Of both? Yeah. But I mean, Lamar Jackson's still playing good enough to win games. And I don't know why they're playing differently. His completion percentage on balls over 20 yards is like 23%, I think. I looked it up earlier.
Yeah, he's not hitting. I mean, his pass and the worries they had about his accuracy coming out of college have shown this season, which feels very odd. That he came out and was lights out last year and not so much this year. And maybe that's a case of some defenses in the offseason figured some things out. And I think they have a good coaching staff there that they'll be able to maybe counterbalance it and have a real strong second half of the season for him.
Yeah. And I think they're trying to play him as a long-term quarterback and not having him run on his designed runs, which is probably making his job a little harder as well.
If you were the Patrick Mahomes owner right now,
yeah,
and you're very much so in contention, Would you trade him for Russell Wilson?
Plus some other pieces?
No, just straight up, because Russell Wilson is having a better season so far.
Nah, I would stick with Mahomes. I don't care. The upgrade isn't big enough that I would want to take that chance going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's slightly a stupid question, but worth
bringing up. It's a good question. I don't know. It's just depends on if you think how Russell Wilson's playing right now projects forward, or if it's just sort of a few games.
Yeah. Was there anybody you're kind of surprised you didn't see make your list when you made it?
You mean other than Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah. He's not even a top 30 quarterback.
Sorry, my dog muted you for a second there.
So yeah, no, I had a really nice rant about Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, is there anybody you kind of expected to sneak in there?
I mean, I thought like Burrow would be on there.
Right, that's but... what I thought. I thought somebody like him, if Tua had been starting, Daniel Jones obviously is not even close. Baker Mayfield. And I kind of feel as though like a player like Matt Ryan, just because he's been in that system for a while, but that system is obviously changing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, they're like wide receivers are just sort of like downgrading.
It's pretty wild how young these top 10 guys are.
Yeah. I mean,
the top 7 or 8 are here for the long, long haul.
Yeah. Well, I feel like all the top quarterbacks before were like really old.
Right. Absolutely. 9 years ago, Tom Brady was the second oldest starting quarterback in the league. So.
Huh. Jeez.
There is some real longevity at the position. Is there anything else you want to talk about with the current guys?
I don't know. No.
All right. So next year we both put Dak Prescott back in, and I took out Aaron Rodgers. I put in Justin Herbert in there, and I have Dak Prescott. No, Joe Burrow have entered mine. Then you still have Aaron Rodgers in there, where I don't. But you no longer have Cam Newton.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
You feel good about that? I think Newton is interesting. He'll be with the Patriots for another year, I'm assuming. Like, even if they have to franchise him.
Sure, but what if he gets a concussion or?
I suppose. I mean, any of these guys could get their brains scrambled. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is more injury prone than he is.
Yeah, I guess so. Cam kind of disappears, though.
Sure. I don't think he's ever had as good a coaching staff as he has now. And it'll be interesting with an off season where they can go into the draft knowing that he's their starting quarterback.
Sure.
What they can surround him with. My wavering on Aaron Rodgers is Jordan Love. It's just a weird situation there in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I could see it turning volatile at any moment. The thing that I thought was kind of crazy was I had Tua in there because I do think Tua is going to be really good. But after watching Herbert again on Monday, there was no way I couldn't put him into this.
Sure.
With nothing to base Tua on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the Dolphins have more issues than just having to slot in a quarterback and becoming good.
Yeah. So that if Tua were to break through, who does he knock out of your list?
Probably Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
So for myself, I am leaning towards either Newton or Watson. I feel like that Texans team is going to be a mess for a while moving forward.
Yeah.
And he's already blown out his knees twice. I just could see it becoming pretty, pretty grim. They also don't have any draft capital because they traded it all away. So it just seems like it's going to be hard to keep talent around him. And maybe they bring in somebody great to handle that rebuild. And he was passing way better this past weekend. So perhaps that was a sign of things to come. He was throwing it deeper.
Yeah.
But he, I don't know.
Yeah, that seems going to be a mess.
I agree. I think that is a real, real messy team. All right, 5 years from now, we run into the exact same problem as we did with the running backs, as there will be a Trevor Lawrence in here. There will be somebody who's not even a name on my radar right now in this.
Yeah, there'll probably be a few.
Yeah, absolutely. We have it's almost exactly the same as the previous list. We both just have Tua in there at this point. And Tua replaced the two people that we basically said we thought he would replace, which is Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers. I think.
How do you feel about still having Russell Wilson?
So right now I feel good about it. He plays a really smart game. He's got good weapons around him. I think he'll only be 36, which is pretty fine in terms of age for quarterbacks. And I feel as though he does a great job of avoiding getting absolutely blown up by hits.
Sure.
I think he's been such a top tier player for so long that everybody has had the opportunity to watch him play, so many times. And I don't know about you, but I feel like that's a style where he's not putting himself at risk. There's good culture there. Pete Carroll might be retired by that point because he's really old, which could throw a wrench in it. Yeah. But still, all things considered, he's probably still top five for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure like four or five of the people on this list are not going to be in the top 10.
Absolutely. I think if I had to take five out, I would take out Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I would take out probably Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow just because their profile isn't that of a fantasy relevant quarterback.
Mm.
And Kyler Murray, unlike Russell Wilson, seems like a little guy who does kind of get beat up and tossed around.
Sure.
And I wrote this in the notes, the spiciest take is Lamar Jackson, in the sense that he's basically now been the starter for two seasons. Half of, whatever that amount of game was in his rookie year and this season and then last. And it's almost like two different players. I think as long as he has his legs, so whether it's, he doesn't slow down any, doesn't lose a step, doesn't take a major injury that makes him less effective at running. I think that he, that'll keep him in there, but he would be the dark horse. And then maybe if it's not him, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident in Mahomes, Wilson, Prescott. Those are the guys that I feel really good about.
Yeah. I think Tua's a coin toss. I could see Josh Allen. Deshaun Watson, Justin Herbert. I don't know.
The ultimate thing here is, and I think this is impossible for us to predict, is right now what's in for success is scrambling quarterbacks. Yeah. Like even last year, Josh Allen was a very good fantasy football quarterback just because he had, you know, he took off and he ran for touchdowns. Who's to say that in 5 years, it's just not bombs away and, you know, the biggest arm is back to being what's in vogue.
Yeah. I mean, how many of these scrambling quarterbacks are going to still be 100% healthy in 5 years?
Well, that's why I think players like Mahomes, Wilson, Prescott, they're very mobile and they're very good at extending the play.
Yeah.
But they're not, it's not a huge part of their game to take off and scramble.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody like Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, that's kind of the rushing yards are what you're baking into the production for them for the position.
Yeah.
And then if that goes, I think that, you know, that's just, you know, kind of the end of them. I still think they probably wouldn't be that bad. They might be, you know, 12th.
Yeah. I mean,
there's still talk about, you know, Jordan Love's biggest comparison was Patrick Mahomes. It seems like one of the, you know, the two things that I've come across that make you a successful quarterback is culture. And also if you have the ability to learn the position for a year before being thrown out there, sure. Which he's absolutely getting. I worry about like Herbert, who definitely can take off, but I think he's just like an arm first guy. And also it's like, oh, he ends up being the 12th best, which yeah, is fine. I mean,
yeah,
I
think we're going off a very limited sample set here.
Right. I mean, you can look at quarterbacks who will be out of the league by then. It'll be Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Roethlisberger, probably.
Yeah. Well, Breeze is almost 42.
Yeah. Derek Carr will be out of the league. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be out of the league, I guess. We're not really including him.
Carr might still be in the league.
I guess. I can't imagine he's still the starting quarterback, even though I'm like totally
he's doing okay right now.
Right. And I'll totally, you know, take my lumps on saying that he's the worst quarterback. not. I mean, it could you see a rebound happening for somebody like Carson Wentz? I know we talked about it last week where I
said. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't think he's nearly as bad as, you know, he's looked this season. I still question. I don't like. He's not breaking that top 8, 9 next year.
But like 2 or 3 years ago, he would have been in people's top 5.
For sure. I think there was a point where he was on the rise, and then he's sort of plateaued, and he is what he is.
Yeah.
And I mean, his injuries would have me very scared. If you told me they went and ended up with like the 8th pick or something and somehow had the opportunity to get another quarterback, it doesn't seem that crazy to me. I'm not 100% sure what his contract situation is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And I mean, they did draft Jalen Hurts. Who knows what they're trying to do with that? Is there anything that would make you think that somebody leapfrogs Patrick Mahomes in the next 5 years of these guys for your number one spot?
I mean, there's nothing I've seen to make me think that's going to happen. He looks awesome. If Lamar Jackson could put together being able to throw accurately, perhaps. But yeah, I don't know. He's my top pick for a number one quarterback going forward.
Right. I think also you just have to, at this point, it's Edwards-Helaire over Dobbins. I mean, I know the sample size is super small. There's that aspect. And then you have the aspect of, I would rather have Tyreek Hill than Marquise Brown. I'd rather have Travis Kelce than Mark Andrews. I mean, Kelce will probably be done in 5 years, but
yeah.
I like that receiving core. I like the, I mean, Andy Reid's a great coach. He knows how to scheme better than anyone.
Yeah. And like what I like about Patrick Mahomes is his like mental attitude. Like he loses a game and he looks like fine. Like it doesn't even like bother him. Like,
yeah. I mean, I kind of wonder if it's like, you know, a duck when they look like they're cruising on top of the water.
Yeah.
And then underneath the water, their feet are going crazy. But he definitely doesn't seem like anything truly faces him.
Yeah, it's insane.
Which is
he looks like he like reminds me of the most like obnoxious person that you like played sports against like when like you were a kid and you're just like, this, how is this guy this good?
Right,
I hate everything about him.
Right. And then but then when you like, you know, you're the little kid and you complain about him to your parents, they're like, there's nothing to dislike about him. Like, you just are not as talented and just don't work as hard.
Yeah. And he right? doesn't like, seem to care.
You know, like, it life isn't fair. Patrick Mahomes is just that good.
Yeah, he's like kind of doughy looking.
Yeah, he does. It's like, it's insane. I mean, I've never seen like what he looks like without a shirt on, but like in street clothes, he's very pedestrian looking.
I mean, I bet he looked pretty much exactly the same when he was like six.
Yeah. I mean, he also could be one of those people who just so happens to be in a land of giants and we would stand next to him and just be like, oh, you actually are an enormous human being. You're just not. It's like when you see like a WWE wrestler, the smallest WWE wrestler on TV looks tiny. But then when you're there and he walks by you, you're like, oh, you're still 6'3", you know, 270 pounds. You're absolutely enormous. You're just not 6'8", 300 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So that's quarterbacks. Would you say, before we close this out and then move on, that Patrick Mahomes is the single greatest piece in dynasty fantasy football? Regardless of format.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that right now. Yeah.
I totally agree. I mean, I made that argument that even in one QB leagues, you should value it the most. I just think you have a set it and forget it position. You can take risks in your draft in the second and third round on guys. And if you hit, you can always just trade them.
Yeah.
It's just like, As a person who had been scrambling for quarterbacks for the past couple of years and might be back to it since I had Dak, it sucks. if you don't have that, if that position is shaky,
yeah,
it's really tough because when you know if you're in the championship and you're up against a good team and the quarterback puts up 35 points and your quarterback puts up 18, that, you know, that 17 points is going to be really hard to make up across the other positions.
Yeah.
So I didn't even write it in the notes because it seems like it's pretty much rock bottom for waiver wire minus Travis Fulgham.
Yeah.
Did you see anybody? It looks like Mo Alie-Cox is already out of fashion in Indianapolis, but it also might just be that Philip Rivers is really bad.
Yeah. I don't know. He might be one of those players that hits like three times a year and then the rest of the year he's just not there.
Mo Alie-Cox or Travis Fulgham?
Mo Alie-Cox.
Yeah.
I mean, Fulgham could be two, but
part of me just says that the Eagles are putting guys out there and somebody has to catch the ball. Like, it's the NFL. You throw the ball and somebody has to catch it, and he happened to be the guy. And, you know, he was having probably the game of his year life, and I would put zero stock in him. That is a – I would probably not give up my waiver wire priority to draft him. I would not use any free agent auction budget, maybe the bare minimum to get him over the guy who puts in a zero claim.
Yeah, maybe their game plan is to every week bring in a player that no one on the other team has ever heard of and just, like, throw it to them the whole game.
Could be. I mean, that just off the street. Like, it's like, this week it's the fast guy. This week it's the shifty guy.
Yeah, it's like that the movie with the Eagles with the guy, the walk-on tryout. The
cash-kicking Philadelphia field goal phenomenon, yeah. So, also, on top of just finishing out the Fulgham, I'm fairly certain Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are back this week. I think you're getting closer to the return of Jalen Reagor, and I think Greg Ward is still probably ahead of this Fulgham man in the long run. But realistically, those guys are now probably going to be fourth and fifth options, and you still have Zach Ertz there, who has been not great. But
yeah, I would still put in a waiver claim for Fulgham in Dynasty, but don't expect it to, like, be a home run.
Yeah. All right. But what percentage of your auction budget would you be willing to use?
I don't know. Like,
especially like, let's say you've used half of it already. So you're down to 50% of your budget left because you've obviously claimed people at this point.
Yeah. I might do like 10%.
Interesting.
What would you do?
So, I mean, it's hard to separate, you know, how I'm thinking from how I have my teams, which I have pretty great depth at all of my wide receiver position, on all three of my dynasty teams. I just could never see that guy cracking my lineup. Sure. I'd be much more interested in a situation where, like, two running backs go down and all of a sudden somebody steps up and is, you know, like, let's say, you know, Melvin Gordon's probably going to get suspended for the DUI he got today. Philip Lindsay gets hurt.
Who's after that?
Yeah, like, I don't know who that guy is, but that guy has way more potential to me than the guy who is ultimately going to be the fourth, you know, maybe at best third wide receiver on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely worth picking up those guys and still having fab budget. Yeah, right now it's Royce Freeman, and people kind of liked him a few years ago.
Yeah, sure. I mean, him, Monty Bell, Sean Marino, they all could show up in your lineup.
Oh. He was a third round draft pick in 2018.
Yeah, no, he was, I mean, I remember in redraft leagues, he was hovering in the like 80 to 100 range, and then Philip Lindsay came out and took the job from him.
Yeah, and I was never totally convinced that Philip Lindsay was necessarily better than him.
I'm pretty convinced at this point, since he was has never really seen the field, and Philip Lindsay has stayed relevant. Not that I think Philip Lindsay is a world beater.
Yeah.
All right, got an idea to end the show. It's up to you if you want to do it or not. I made a trade proposal to you during the weekend.
Yeah.
And I canceled it because I realized that having trades go through during this, it messes up the scoring. I took it back.
With the late game, the Tuesday games?
Yeah, so I didn't want to screw it up, especially since it was a trade involving players on both of those teams. And, no, I feel comfortable enough putting it into the air, my thought process on the trade offer. You don't have to agree or disagree at this point. You can obviously sit on it, but talk it through. It's up to you if you want to do it or not.
Yeah.
All right. So the trade I proposed was Devin Singletary and Juju Smith-Schuster for – is that what I offered?
No, it was Reagor and Schuster.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was Rager and Smith-Schuster and for Derrick Henry. And my thoughts around it were, those guys are super young that I offered you. Mm-hmm. Your team has a really young core. It's mm-hmm. it's basically built around Jonathan Taylor, Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Brown. Those are all like first or second year guys. I think you've kind of, am I out of line in saying that you feel as though you're probably a year away? You need Dobbins to hit and maybe another player in this upcoming draft?
Yeah, probably. But right now I'm pretty competitive.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has been an interesting year. I mean, the trade offer on my end is me kind of pushing my chips into the middle. I'm tied for the best record. I just had a massive injury for Dak Prescott. I also spent pretty heavily on Dak Prescott. And I kind of view my window as right now still. And Derrick Henry is kind of a win now guy. And I kind of viewed Derrick Henry as a guy whose window might not align with your team.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I was like about to hit the accept button and then I saw Derrick Henry stiff arm Josh Norman.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I mean, he actually didn't have he had two touchdowns, but I think it was actually not the best statistical game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was still better than some of the other games this year, but
right. I mean, and it's really weird. I don't know about you. It almost feels like those guys on the Titans are like busts, but it really was just like they didn't play forever, and then you kind of assumed that they were going to be bad this week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a good time to trade Derrick Henry. I'm just competitive, and I'm probably the shallowest at the wide or the running back position right now. I actually have a pretty good bench of wide receivers. So I don't know. I was like on the fence.
All right.
But it's a great trade offer.
What if, so let's talk this through a little more. What if I pulled both those guys back and inserted Devin Singletary? What would it take to go from Singletary to Henry?
Yeah, I don't know. Singletary.
I mean,
yeah, that like backfield is so up in the air.
I agree. I mean, you had said that you wanted Singletary, so that's why I'm changing the offer slightly. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't hate him. I don't know.
I think Singletary is relevant in the sense that he is young. He is getting the lion's share of the work, and they're a good team.
Yeah.
So ultimately that, you know, he's probably just going to rush, you know, he might get garbage time rushing yards, but the scoreboard doesn't care that they were achieved in garbage time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'll think about it. I'll probably offer you a counter. We can talk about it this week or next week.
We'll figure it out this week. We'll open up next week's podcast with did we successfully pull off a trade?
I'll offer you something. We'll see.
I will say that those three players are definitely players on the table. Not necessarily all three of them in a trade, but
yeah,
they're all can be had.
Cool.
All right. So next week we'll do 20 wide receivers. I feel like that's
okay.
Yeah. Probably a pretty good amount. And then I'm starting to think ahead. Should probably maybe loop back and talk about where we were right, where we were wrong in the preseason. Yeah, like that. To the halfway point and, you know, kind of pat ourselves on the back and kick ourselves in the butt.
I like that. I feel decent about some of the
I feel like we were as on point as any other fantasy expert.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was predicting the demise of Carson Wentz like I was.
Yeah.
And I don't think – I mean, I definitely missed on Derek Carr. I thought he was terrible.
Well, I don't think anyone was, like, hyping up Derek Carr.
For sure, but I think I thought he was going to be worse than he has been. And then maybe – so maybe we can – we'll do wide receivers, revisit where we hit and we missed, and then maybe we can convince Kevin to let his mom – you know, have his mom let him come out and play, and we can do some sort of mid-season awards.
Sure. I like that.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I never remember to say any of these things, but if you want anything, you should hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at Dynasty Mode Pod. If you want to email us, it's dynastymodepod@gmail.com. We do have a website, dynastymodepod.com. Maybe I'll write something for it this weekend. Who knows? Maybe you will.
Maybe I will.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.